I don't know what you guys were doing yesterday morning, but I had the opportunity yesterday to run in the Hustle for the Homeless, and that is an amazing ministry right here in Roanoke that helps to serve the homeless population, and they do a fantastic job with that. They've been doing it for years, and so I signed myself up at the last minute to go and run this race, and so it was an exciting thing. But I wanted to tell you this for this reason, because I ran into an old friend there. And they were wearing these earbuds, and we got to joking and talking because they had this app or this application on their phone where there was somebody in their ear giving them encouragement, telling them what to do step by step. It was like, come on, you got this, you can do this. And I'm like, wait, that's a thing? You could have earbuds like while you're exercising or working out, and you basically got your own personal coach that's in your ear telling you what to do every step of the way. And I'm like, man, I need that all day long, right? Like, while I'm walking around the house, I stop, pick up a pair of socks. Great job, Dad. You did it. You know, a little pat on the back once in a while helps, doesn't it? It kind of gets you going. Like, man, that was encouraging. So along the way on this race, they would have some people posted that would give you some encouragement, that would say, hey, you know, every turn, they would also keep you on the right track so you didn't get off on the wrong trail and you'd be running completely off the path and be wondering where everybody else was. And so, actually, one of our ladies here at the church named Karen Sheeler, she was one of those folks who was supposed to be cheering me on. But when I ran by her, she didn't even recognize me. I think it's because my face was completely red. I was about to pass out. And she is accusing me of cheating. However, I did stay on the path. She just totally ignored me and did not give me any encouragement whatsoever. So, with that being said, I figured I need to invest in these earbuds so that regardless of what Karen is doing, I could have this continually throughout my day. And so, I know you. Sometimes it's easy for us to always look at other people or even at ourselves. And instead of being a cheerleader or an encouragement, sometimes we can be the people that beat ourselves up the worst. Am I right? Like, we focus on the things in our life that are not going right or that we drop the ball on or that other people didn't live up to your expectations. And we can begin to focus on those things and really beat them or beat ourselves up instead of receiving the encouragement that we need. And so instead of like these physical earbuds that you might put in, today I really want to encourage us to be a people who walk by the Spirit. And so if you're taking notes today, the title of our message is this: What the Spirit Desires. What the Spirit Desires. We've been going through this sermon series called Renew Your Mind. And so we started out in Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, we did a sermon called Mindset, because the Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 8 that the mind that is controlled by the flesh has their mind set on worldly things. But the mind that is controlled by the Spirit has the mind set on the things of the Spirit. And so there we were called to evaluate our thinking, to ask ourselves, what is my mind set on? Is my mind set on things of this world, things that God would not have me thinking about? Or is my mind thinking about spiritual and heavenly things, godly things, things that God has called me to dwell upon? And then we moved over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a couple of Sundays. And we talked about the fact that the Bible says that through the power of the Spirit, our minds, the spirit of our minds being renewed, that we have the ability to take off the old and to put on the new. And in the middle there, between those two things, is the needed power, and that is the renewal of our minds. And all of this is empowered by the Spirit. Today, I really want to give us a bigger look at this, to step back even a little bit further and not just approach this strictly with, I'm going to control my mind. Because even though that is something that we need to think about, we need to think about our thinking, what that could devolve into could be just you trying to help yourself. It could devolve into just self-help with a little religious veneer. It's kind of like the earbuds, right? It's some encouragement along the way, tack a Bible verse onto it, and really it's just you through your own willpower trying to have a better life or become a better person. But we know that as human beings, we are made in the image of God. And so we are spirit at our very core. We are eternal beings. We're not just mere mortals, right? We are made for eternity. That is who we are at the center of our being. But then there's also what the Bible calls the soul. And part of that involves the mind, the imagination, our thinking. And then beyond that, if you would think about these outer layers, it's also the flesh, the things of the flesh. And so in our core is our spirit. That needs to be controlled by God, the Spirit. And then flowing out of that into the soul, the mind, the imagination. And then guess what happens from there? What you think about, what you imagine, you do. You wind up doing that with your body, with your flesh. And so today we're going to continue this train of thought a little bit deeper, and we're really studying what the Apostle Paul has to say on these things in Romans chapter 8 and then Ephesians chapter 4, where he's telling us to walk in the Spirit. And then we're going to go today to Galatians chapter 5, which is another one of Paul's famous passages where he talks about walking in the Spirit. Not so much today about our minds being renewed, but he talks about the flesh, which is the outworking of what the mind is thinking. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need the power of your Spirit to guide our thoughts today, Lord, to control what is coming in, what is going out. And God, we just pray that your word would continue its renewing power in our lives. God, we surrender ourselves to you today and ask that you would do a mighty work, do a miracle, do a changeover, make us new creatures, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Galatians chapter 5. And what Paul is doing here in Galatians chapter 5, what he's doing here really in the book of Galatians is he is encouraging the Galatians to remember. Now, I don't know about you, but I always used to think this was kind of a joke when older people in my younger days, right? In my younger days, people would talk about they would start to forget things and lose their memory, and you would talk to older folks and they're like, whatever, you're just making excuses. Well, I don't know what's happened to me here lately, but I've started to be kind of forgetful. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. She could tell you a little bit. And I used to just put it off like, hey, I can't find my keys. She's like, you're really forgetting stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not. And it's like a denial thing, right? I'm like, I'm not forgetting. I got it all together. The kids must have moved my keys. They must have done something. And then it's my wallet. And then it's the kids, right? I'm like, hey, where's the kids? Oh, I think we left them at Dairy Queen. All right. Well, they're not upset about that, right? So we tend to forget and we tend to focus on what we find most important. And what Paul begins to do in Galatians, especially Galatians chapter 1, is he gets on these folks at this church and he's like, what in the world happened to you? Did you forget that you were brought into God's family by faith through the power of the Spirit? And who cut in on you? Have you lost your minds? You're going back to a legalistic mindset in regards to your sanctification. That is, you becoming more like Jesus, because we understand that we have come into the faith, by the power of the Spirit. But the danger for all of us is that we then try to move the Holy Spirit over to the passenger seat and we take the steering wheel and say, okay, you did that part. Now, through my own sheer willpower and my godliness, I'll take it from here. And I and you slip back into legalistic ways. That is, we are more concerned about the form and how things look on the outside, and we could check those boxes and say, I need to do this and this because other people are watching. But the fact is, you and I can do really holy and godly looking things that do not please God whatsoever. I want you to get that. Paul tells us this in another passage, that you could give your body, you could sacrifice everything you have, you could give everything away that you own, you could serve the poor, you could do everything you could think of that would on the outside look really good. But if you do it without the power of the Spirit, if you do it without love, it's useless. It's not pleasing to God. In fact, Jesus in one of his interactions had told people that one day people are going to be standing at the gates of heaven basically saying, "Hey, let us in. Didn't we do good things? Didn't we feed the poor? Didn't we cast out demons in your name?" And he's going to tell those folks, "Depart from me. I never knew you." So we do know this as believers. It is possible for us to slip into a routine of doing churchy, good-looking things, but that they don't actually add up to true holiness and godliness because we're doing them out of our own power and out of our own strength. That's what Paul's reminding these folks of. In this case, he's talking about circumcision, and he's telling them, don't fall back into that lie thinking you have to perform this physical duty in order to please God. You don't. And so then we make it all the way over to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to pick up Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Remember, he said in Romans 8 that you need to do what the Spirit desires. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh," which are really, if you remember, it's an outworking of the mind. What you think about, you do. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries." This is a pretty long list, right? So when things are out of whack in your spirit, I mean, it leads to so many different opportunities for sinful behavior. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions. Some of you are like, "Pastor, you're describing my house." Anybody right now be like, that kind of looked like my house this morning. Yeah, I see that. I see that hand. I mean, it's easy to slip into this kind of behavior in our flesh. Divisions, envy. If you remember, I confessed to that a couple of weeks ago, that the Lord pointed that out to me in my life as I was asking God to renew my mind, that one of the surprises he brought to my mind was envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." There's so many of those good things. And let me tell you this. Those things cannot be accomplished simply by our own willpower. You could try to work on one of those things, and you would be starting to drop the ball on the other things. So if you're working on love, then you might be dropping the ball on peace or patience or goodness or faithfulness, because in your human standing, it's really hard for you to accomplish all those things. But the good news is this, is that when we're walking by the power of the Spirit, all these things begin to manifest themselves at the same time. Because you can't truly be a loving person and be totally impatient. And so when the fruit begins to come out, you know that the Spirit is doing His thing. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So I want to point out a few things here. In verse 16, he said, walk by the Spirit. Now in verse 25, he says, live by the Spirit. He also says, keep in step with the Spirit. And so he's encouraging us. Basically what he's saying is this, is every step that you take, every walk that you go on, every path that you travel needs to be guided as a believer by the Holy Spirit. And when he is doing his work inside of you and in your spirit, then the fruit of that, and notice that he referred to the works of darkness as works, as actions. But he refers to the good qualities here, not as works, but as fruits. Because those are things that come outside of you from the inside out, not the outside in. And so if you're working at this renewal of the mind thing just from the outside in, it's going to be a really hard and disappointing work over and over again. And you might get a few areas under control and hold those things down and create a really good habit in your life. And that's okay to create great habits in your life. But what you want to do is make sure you're creating habits that are working so that you are putting yourself under the grace of God so that His Holy Spirit can work in you from the inside out and produce the kind of fruit that you need to be having. So how do we do that? How do we walk in the Spirit so that we're producing this fruit, so that our minds are renewed and our flesh is not living and doing worldly things? That's a great question. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can do in order to walk in the Spirit, to stay on the right path, to make sure you're looking for those people along the way that are going to guide you in the right direction so that you can put your spiritual earbuds in, right? So that you have that constant voice in your ear, not just from a pre-recorded person on an app, but from the Holy Spirit who's always whispering and talking, and you constantly staying tuned in so that you know exactly what it is that God wants you to do. How do you do that? Number one, sow to the Spirit. Got any farmers here? All right, got two. All right, we got one and a half. One and a half. Yeah, sow to the Spirit. What are you talking about? Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Let me stop right there. If you're wondering about the anger in your life, if you're wondering about the envy in your life, if you're wondering about the division, the dissension, the fear, the anxiety, where that's coming from, the Bible says that where it's coming from the seeds that you've sown. So don't be surprised that you're producing this fruit and you're wondering, for those of you that are farmers, you probably didn't plant watermelon seeds and then go out a few months later and go, where did this squash come from? It didn't change overnight. You planted the wrong thing. And so he says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You want to walk in the Spirit? You want to have the fruit of the Spirit? You got to plant seeds. You got to sow to the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Like, practically, how do you do that? How do you sow to the Spirit? Well, what we call that around here at Belmont is this. We call this devotion. That is, that if you're going to plant seeds, invest your time, your energy, your efforts into an area, it is so easy for you and I to even accidentally sow seeds to the wrong things, to give our time to things that we might think are just neutral, right? That I deserve a break. I've had a hard day. I'm going to sit down in front of the TV, or I'm going to put on some of the old music that I used to listen to, or I'm going to go hang out with the old friends that I used to spend my time with, and I'm going to sow those seeds of just kind of being neutral. What turns out that most things in this life aren't neutral. And so if you want to be in tune with the Spirit and walk by Him, you have to be a good farmer that's intentionally planting the correct seeds. And so farming, in a lot of ways, it's simple, right? Because the real miracle of farming is that God does the work. You and I can go out, we can till the soil, and we can plant a seed, but God gives the growth. And so it's not real complicated. What really farming is all about is just the consistency. It's about willing to take the time to get out there, to plant the seeds, to pull the weeds, to water it, and then ask God to give the increase, and He will do that. So if you want to sow to the Spirit, not real hard. In fact, I want to tell you this. For this summer here at Belmont, we are just implementing a three-step discipleship pathway. And we're asking every single person here for 3 months to take three steps. June, July, and August, we just want to say, you know what? Personally, we want to challenge ourselves to do these steps. The steps of number one, devotion. The number step two, family, like praying together. And then three, loving your neighbor. And we're going to unpack those a little bit more. And in fact, at the back here today, as we're leaving, and also we'll be mailing it out to those that are watching online, we have a calendar and a discipleship pathway that we want to share with you so that you can bear down and focus on sowing seeds to the Spirit this summer, and so that we could do that as an entire group. So sowing to the Spirit's not real difficult, right? It's spending time with the Lord. Jesus said something very similar in the book of John when He said that if you want to produce fruit, what do you got to do? Remain in Me. You got to abide in Me. So I know a lot of times we want to come to the Christian life and have those earbuds and say, pump me up. Give me something new. Give me something fresh. Blow my mind. I want something that's going to wow me so that I can leave today totally pumped, totally jacked, on a high, totally excited and passionate. And then that leaks all out by Monday morning, doesn't it? And then we got to go back and listen to that pump up speech again. But most farmers aren't out in the field, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, with earbuds in going, come on, you got this. Plant that seed. You can do this, Jim. Great job on the tomato. Yeah, your wife's out there pumping you up, huh? In the shade while you're out there in the sun. So she's like, when are you coming home for lunch? So I know how that works. So what I'm saying is this. This is not new stuff to most of us here today, either in person or online. This is not mind-blowingly new. Where most of us fall short in sowing the simple seeds to the Spirit is in the daily doing. It's in what we are devoted to. Are we devoted to the things of God, to His Word, to spending time in His Word? At least 15 minutes a day, but maybe hours a day, because if we're honest with ourselves, we spend hours each day with wasted time that we could have spent instead listening and being in tune with the Holy Spirit through the Word that He's given us, through prayer, through abiding, remaining in Jesus. And so I'm not going to give you anything today that's going to blow your mind or shock you. What I'm asking you to do is to walk consistently down a discipleship pathway, step by step, and over time, you will be amazed by the results. No one plants a seed for a tree. I don't know who put this tree here, But no one planted that seed or put a tiny little tree in there and was like, yeah, tons of shade on the first day. No, what you do instead is you plant that seed and you water it and you see nothing. You see no results. And after a day or two, it might get a little depressing, right? Like, man, God, you told me that you would renew my mind. You would transform me. And here I've done two quiet times in a row. Where's the results? Well, the thing is, the truth is, the results start happening without you noticing. My son Levi and I have been mountain biking together, and he's doing his best to try to catch up to my skill level. So, you know, I see his growth even when he doesn't. Now, he has a long way to go, obviously. But we were driving up the Mill Mountain Parkway the other day, and I said, you know, one day, son, you're going to bike up from the very bottom of this mountain all the way to the top without putting a foot to the ground. And he's like, that's never going to happen. So I made it my personal goal to make sure that that actually does happen. But then I noticed as we were biking around and we were going up this one hill that we normally climb up, that he got to the very top without stopping. And he's like, is it just me? Or does that hill got shorter? It doesn't seem as tall as it used to be. Well, you and I both know that that hill did not get any taller, right? What's happened is his legs have gotten stronger and he's able to go further and his lungs have developed a little bit more and he's learned some skills and how to get to the top of there without stopping. Whereas before, he used to stop all the time. So what's happened is growth has happened, but he hasn't realized it because he's been very consistent. In fact, my mornings, which used to be reserved for me and myself, are now interrupted quite a bit by Mr. Levi because he'll be out of his room now at 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing awake, son? Hey, Dad, why don't we go biking, just me and you? And I'm like, bro, this guy is on it. He wants to grow in that area. The same way is true for you spiritually. It's not a miracle overnight success. Will you commit to faithfully following Jesus, being devoted to him, being in his word every single day? How else can you walk in the Spirit? Number two, you can pray in the Spirit, right? Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit in himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know, the Spirit knows you better than you know yourself, and the Bible calls us to pray. That's why on this discipleship pathway this summer, we're asking you to pray every day. And if you can, preferably pray with somebody that you live with, somebody that's a part of your family. If you live by yourself, call a friend. Boom. Hey, over the summer, can I call you and pray with you for a few minutes every single day? Well, Pastor John, that seems like a lot of work. You know what? Farming is not easy, is it? It's just the consistency. It's the daily doing of it that will make it happen. And over time, I guarantee you that if you pray every single day over the summer, especially with another believer, that you will see spiritual growth. And so the Spirit knows you and he wants to help you grow and he intercedes for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 tells us that we should pray in the Spirit as well. Let me read that to you. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit. How often should we pray? If you want to walk in the Spirit, you need to pray in the Spirit at all times with all supplication. This is your spiritual earbuds. This is the popping them in, and you're praying at all times. You got the Holy Spirit in your ear nonstop. You have intentional time set aside where you're praying, but that also leads to just spontaneous times of prayer where you're praying. Is this mind-blowing? No. But how many of you would say, Pastor John, for the past several months, I've been killing it. Every single day, spending my time in the Word, every single day, spending extended time in prayer, praying in the Spirit. For those that have, you're probably too humble to raise your hand. So thank you, because you've been growing and you maybe haven't even been knowing that you've been growing. So it's not about finding some new information that you've never heard about before. It's about putting into application the things that you already know. Last but not least, how can you walk in the Spirit? You can obey the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, if you're a believer here, there's been a time in your life where you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit to not do something. You know that thing you do? You know what I'm talking about? You know that sin that you keep going back to? That one that God convicted you of and you felt so bad about last time you did it? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. I do. Stop doing that. All right? There, that's the end of the sermon. Obey the Spirit, because you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when He comes to you and ministers to you and convicts you, we need to obey right away. Is that mind-blowing news to anybody that's been walking with Jesus for a while? No. But how many of us can treat the Holy Spirit like an older parent who you kind of like, yeah, I've heard that before. I know. I'll just apologize later. I'll get forgiveness later. And then wonder, why am I not growing? Why is the Holy Spirit not in my life more and more evident in my life? Why am I not seeing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience? Why am I not seeing those things? Because you keep disobeying. Instead of sowing seeds to the Spirit, you're sowing seeds to the world. And you're wondering why all the weeds are coming up in the garden instead of the good fruit. It's because you're sowing the wrong thing. So let's sow to the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. And last but not least, when the Spirit speaks into our ears, into our earbuds, let's obey the Spirit. You know, one of the things that the Spirit tells us to do is to love. In fact, that's the very first fruit that is mentioned, right? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. One of the things that we're challenging ourselves to do in our discipleship pathway this summer is to love our neighbors. It's to say, you know what? I have people that live right around me that perhaps I don't even know their names. And this summer, we really are asking every single person to choose one neighbor. Just pray about it with your family and say, God, who is my one neighbor that you want me to minister to over the course of June, July, and August? And how can I bless them? How can I minister to them? And God will show you how to do that. And you'll be surprised that when you start obeying the Spirit, you'll start seeing fruit that you haven't seen before. So let me go a little bit further about our discipleship pathway. Once again, it's three steps. I'd love for you to read about it, find out more about it. In fact, we actually have some videos on these things that are going to unpack this a little bit more so that the questions that you have about how to do these, you'll be able to get the answers to those. And in fact, we have set up a new email. It's called path@belmontlife.org. And you could send us an email to that and we'll answer the questions that you have about taking these three discipleship steps this summer. They are the steps of devotion, the steps of family, that means praying together in the Spirit, and the step of neighbor, choosing a neighbor to intentionally pray for, to listen to serve, and to share your God story with. And if you'll unpack those things, God will use those to grow you up, to change your mind, and also to change your actions. And I think it'll be a really good thing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have given us your word. It's just so easy to understand and straightforward sometimes, God. And I just pray that right now, that as we head into the summer, Lord, that you would give us the power that we need to just follow you step by step, that we would walk in step with the Spirit throughout this entire summer. God, I pray that we would be a people that are devoted to that, that we would have that devotion for you above and beyond anything else that we have. Lord, I pray that in our family units, although they all look different, Father, we know that you want to guide each and every home that's a part of this church family. And so, Lord, whatever that family might look like, whether it's a single person living by themselves with a roommate, Lord, whether it's a blended family, whether it's a single parent, whether it's a traditional looking family, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that in every single situation that you would give us the resolve to pray with each other, to pray in the Spirit, and to experience growth in our lives together. And Lord, also for that neighbor, even right now, I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice, by the power of your Spirit, would have somebody come to mind that lives near them. And Lord, I pray that you would put that person or that family on their heart. And Lord, I pray that over the course of the summer, that they would be a missionary and a friend to that person. Lord, that they would go out of their way to be a blessing. Lord, because you've gone out of your way to be a blessing to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to renew our minds, that every single morning we would wake up and pray, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me." And Lord, whatever those things are in our mind that need to be renewed, God, we turn those over to you and ask you to do a work that we can't do ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.